podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. What's the story this week? Am I fucking your woman? I'm fucked up on a hot pill.
Hey, it's Bill. You're tuning in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, out of the Toronto, Canada area, on the west coast of the United States, on RootRootRadio.com, across the pond on XRPRadio.co.uk, and right here from my living room on buildthescene.com. With me tonight on episode number 531 is Brett from the band Ultraviolet. What's up, Brett?
How are you doing, Bill?
Not too
I'm
bad.
I'm doing all right.
See this soundproofing behind you there?
Yep, it's our little studio space that we use to pretty much record everything ourselves. So that's something we're proud of and we'll continue to do.
Well, you'll be able to tell us a little bit about that when we talk about your music in a little bit. I'm going to start with probably the only cliche question you're going to hear from me tonight as a band interviewer. And that's, where did the band name Ultraviolent come from?
Where did Ultraviolent come from? Well, I wish I had a better story for you other than we literally just had a big list of names that we came up with over the course of a few weeks. And one of our friends wanted us to play at like a Christmas party type of thing. And the gig was coming up and we had the band, but we didn't have a name for the band. And we were like, all right, well, we should probably pick a band name before this gig so we can call ourselves something. And we pretty much just picked one of the names on the list. It was a late night and we were like, yeah, this will do. And we just kind of stuck with it. We were never like, yeah, that's the one. Like, yeah, we were just kind of like, we'll be this band for the night. We'll be this name. And we just never changed it. So that's how it happened.
I have already stumbled saying ultra violent. And the reason is I just started teaching back in the building.
Yep.
So I'm on, tomorrow will be day 5. And we have these ultraviolet lights that we're supposed to wave over stuff we're touching.
See, what's weird about that is, like, ever since the band was ultraviolent, now the word ultraviolet sounds weird to me. So that kind of sets me off, even though I know that's the actual word. And like, you'll see there's a lot of people that like, if they haven't heard us before or like they're trying to look us up, that they'll be like, oh yeah, ultraviolet, like, yeah. And I'm like, don't forget the N, you know. So that, it happens quite a lot, but I mean, I completely understand. I'm the one that thinks it's weird when I hear ultraviolet, but that's just because I'm used to the band name by now. So,
well, I'm gonna do my best to add that N.
Yeah, there's actually a funny joke we'd make about like having a logo but where the N is like capitalized so people notice that like the N's there. But
this letter's here, pronounce it.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty young. If I was reading, you're like in your early 20s, right?
Yep. So,
but you started your band 6 years ago.
Yeah.
2014.
Mm-hmm.
What's the story behind that? I mean, that's pretty young, and 6 years is in a band lifespan, especially a local one. That's a long time for a lot of bands.
Yeah. So, basically, we started, I actually started playing with Avery, our bass player, in about 2012. And the band things didn't really start getting too serious until 2014. So at the time we were pretty much 14, 15. And that all started really from like the marching band in school. They had a thing called, they did like a band in a band type thing. Like they had the four of us playing actual legit instruments in the middle of the football field. And then they had the marching band going on around us, 'cause we were doing like rock themed music, like Kiss and Green Day and stuff like that. So our band director pretty much put us all together and we took it under, you know, we took it upon ourselves to expand upon it and take it outside of marching band and really build upon it on our own. And make a name for it and write our own music. Yeah.
Do you know the story behind how Lynyrd Skynyrd got their name?
I don't.
So there was a gym teacher at their school named Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
So maybe you could fit that into your story about where your band name came from.
Yeah.
Choir or band director's name was.
Yeah. So what's funny is, what they, at the time, the name they had for our little band in a band thing was called, the Cardinal Band Project. 'Cause our school mascot was the Cardinal. So they called it the Cardinal Band Project. And we're like, oh yeah, the CBP. Cool. And, you know, that name came and went, And then once we built this studio, what we called it is actually Chopping Block Productions. And we didn't realize until like a year after we had the studio, we're like, oh man, it's CBP. And we're like, oh, Carnal Band. And so like everything kind of ties into each other, whether we liked it or not. So that's kind of a cool little Easter egg piece that is kind of sticks with us, even though most people probably will never pick up on it.
Well, now they will. You put it on tape. Yeah,
they will now.
If there was a catastrophic event, and I know that's not a reach right now.
So like COVID.
Right. and it wipes off almost the whole human race. And there's just a handful of people left. And one song from every band survives. And that music is used to help repopulate the earth. And you can read into that question however you want. Which one of your songs survives and helps to get the population back up?
Jesus. Well, see, every one of our songs is about the falling apart of the population. So,
oh, so maybe we should play it as it's happening and then
call
on another band.
Yeah, I would not recommend my band to bring back the population. I mean, that's a really hard question. If I really have to answer, I might say the instrumental track, just cause you know there's nothing bad about it.
Does it have a good beat?
It's the slow one. It's the slowest one on the album, so it's something that the majority of people would be able to get into a little bit easier than some of the other stuff on there. So let's go track 12, Revelation. We're going to bring back the population with an instrumental.
So up until for the last 4 years, I was teaching social studies, and one day I opened the book and there's a picture of a guy who died in the 50s who looked exactly like my college roommate. Yeah. To the point that I took a picture of it and sent it to him. And I was like, dude, are you a time traveler? And he was like, no, but damn. So my question is, after this pandemic's over, maybe like 10 years into the future, someone's flipping through a social studies book and they come across the section on ultraviolet.
Oh my God.
See, I told you. Why would you be in that social studies book?
Why would I be? Or wow. Why would we be in that social studies book? Well, so we're about, or according to Alana from DI Records, they want to have us play Canada once COVID's over. And so I can only imagine that something's going to go down while we're across the border up there. maybe we all lose our passports and then, I don't know, this cop chase, and I don't know. It's going to be some kind of revolutionary thing. I don't know how any of that works.
Alana just popped into the chat.
There she is.
It's funny, Alana, because I actually teach science, so I could have asked it that way had I known.
You know, Alana, if you have any idea of why we would be in a social studies book, please comment and let us know, because I don't have those answers, but someone else might. Alana says people would realize we predicted the future with the evictions concept. I mean, I kind of hope not. I hope this earth takes a different turn than our supposed prediction, but it's out there for a reason.
All right. So are you going to start panicking every time I go to answer another question or ask another question?
Oh, geez.
Maybe I'll give you a little easier.
No, I see. I love it though. Cause like, I don't like going on an interview where people are like, okay, hi, Brett, what instrument do you play? Like, no, I want to hear stuff like what you're asking me, you know?
If you could sit on that proverbial bench that everyone talks about for an hour and talk to any musician in the history of the world, who would you want to sit with? But know that you're limited to one question. What would you ask them?
Oh, man.
So I said a little easier.
Yeah. Well, throwing in the one question part makes it harder just because there's so many different things I could ask so many different people. As far as musician goes, James Hetfield, come on. Like, absolutely.
He's I was just watching Metallica Monday the other day.
Yep. I was at the drive-in concert that they just had, me and some buddies.
I have friends that own a drive-in, but they didn't do it.
Oh, yeah. I would pick James, and I would figure out what I'd ask him later, but just because, you know, that'd be a dream come true.
I was sitting there watching the Metallica Monday, and people were commenting about how bad Lars is. I don't see it that way. You know, I mean, I
understand that, you know, there's more technical drummers out there than he is, but he's not bad. I mean, he's in the greatest metal band in the history of the planet.
Exactly. He can't
be that bad, you know? And it wouldn't be Metallica without Lars. They wouldn't be where they are. The songs wouldn't sound the way they sound. And that's just a part of who they are. So I wouldn't have it any other way, even if he isn't the greatest, you know?
And that's the same argument that I give when people start talking about Peter, Chris, and Kiss.
That's true. Catman, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely not the strongest drummer ever, but without him, that original sound wasn't there.
That's true.
But, and you mentioned them earlier, so it gives me free rein to bring them up.
Yeah. I knew I was going to say James. Yeah, I mean, my love for Metallica isn't hidden very well, put it that way.
So who's Sean, since he piped in?
Sean, I'm friends with him on Facebook. He cooks a lot of meat. I see him cooking meat all the time on Facebook. Dave Grohl, I'm assuming he might, or Dave Mustaine. One of the two. Which Dave are you talking about? Yeah,
Dave Grohl. That's perfect segue for one of my questions. So I'm gonna go with it.
A lot of people say I look like him. I don't understand it, but
I can see it a little.
I just had to throw it out there.
So I do a lot of like late nights over the summer because being a teacher, I don't have to be up early in the summer, and I'll just start watching videos on YouTube, and no matter what I start out with, I always end up watching Foo Fighters videos.
Yeah.
They always end up in there. So my favorite Foo Fighter videos are the ones where they have the guy holding a sign saying they want to come up and play, and they bring him up on stage.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, if you were in that situation where you were being caught up on stage, who would be in Dave Grohl's spot? So what band would you want to be up on stage with?
The Metallica boys, let's go. I mean,
Alana's challenging you there. I don't know if you saw that. Since you...
Alana.
Yep.
Name every you love
Metallica,
song.
Name every song.
All right, we'll start with Kill 'Em All. We got Hit the Lights, Four Horsemen. Oh, yeah.
So when I was in high school, I was playing football, and when we would work out over the summer, we used to listen to Black on loop.
Okay.
So that was my first introduction to Metallica.
Yeah.
But it was good working out music.
A lot of people hate on that album just because they say that's when they went mainstream. But, I mean, there's still a lot of great songs on that album. And people are like, oh, they lost it after 91. You know, they cut their hair, Load and Reload. They lost it. I love every era of Metallica, so I can't really comment on that. Saint Anger, yeah. I feel like...
Drum sound.
Yeah, so like, that's not even the thing that bothers me the most. The thing that bothers me the most is James's vocal performance on that album. Bothers me more than the drums do. I feel like if that album was produced well and James had some better performances, it would be a really great sounding album.
King Nothing was on that, right?
That was on Load.
Okay, that was on Load.
Yep.
See, that shows you, you know, I'm not a huge Metallica fan, but but I do, you know, I like them, but they're not my...
Yeah, I know a lot of people that, you know, it's their number one. And I know a lot of people that just do not associate at all with the band. They're just like, oh, the sellouts, you know. I don't care. It's music.
Sean was talking about Dave Mustaine, by the way.
Okay.
He was pulling you into that war.
Well, I mean, I probably don't have to say my answer for you to know my answer, but I do like both of the bands. Megadeth is a great band. Dave Mustaine is a great guitar player, perhaps maybe even better than you know, Kirk, yes. Better than James at times, maybe. I like them both, but just something about Metallica takes me to a special place that no other band really does that for me. And I'm sorry to turn this whole podcast into a Metallica fanboy session, but if you ask me about it, I'm going to go off. So,
well, see, I think that Dave should kind of embrace it a little more. How many people can say that they were in both Metallica and Megadeth?
Dave, him. You know? Yeah.
You know, now, granted, he was in Metallica really early, and a lot of people, there are people out there that probably don't even know that.
Right, because he did write some riffs for, I mean, a lot of Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning, from my understanding. But yeah, he being in two of the four of the big four thrash, you know. So,
all right, next question, and I'm banning Metallica as an answer this time. I can't pick them.
Okay.
All right, so you're getting ready to go out on your first world tour. What band do you wish you could open for, and what venue would you want to start the tour out at?
It might not sound okay logistically, but playing at Red Rocks has been a dream of mine. Band? Wow. And I can't say Metallica.
Nope.
Slipknot would be awesome. It's because of the energy. I feel like being around them would help us elevate ourselves a lot more, bring us to the next level, just being around them. It's how crazy they are. I like Avenged Sevenfold a lot, too. I listen to them in phases, you know, but they have had a big influence on me and my music. And they are one of the bigger ones, so they draw some pretty great crowds, too. Some pretty accepting crowds. I know there's bands like Slayer that if they were still playing, that if we opened for, they'd probably be like, oh, this ultra-violent band are terrible. They're not, this isn't Rain and Blood. Like, what? You know what I mean? This isn't the same thrash album that Slayer's put out for years. Sorry. you know, is what it is.
So, just a chance for you to mention some more bands that you would say influenced you. So you're on that tour, and I'm part of the road crew, and we're going from stop to stop. What soundtrack are we going to have? What bands are we going to be listening to?
We're going to be listening to a lot of rap, because when I'm not playing metal, or if I'm not feeling metal, or if I just played metal and I'm all, you know, I'm out of it. Like, I don't want to listen to metal right now. I just got to tune it out. I'll either put on some rap, like Run the Jewels, Eminem, or I'll put on something like John Mayer, like that indie type of stuff. I know, it sounds
weird. That's a big jump.
Sounds weird. I love the man. I love John Mayer. He's a crazy guitar player. Voice is incredible. I like everything except country. If we're talking,
When you say except country, you mean country as a whole, or do you mean the pop country stuff that's happening now?
I don't like the pop country. However, I don't listen to the country of old, with the exception of I grew up on a few Alan Jackson songs. Maybe Johnny Cash is cool. You know, there you go. I respect it. It's all right. Pop country, like Florida Georgia Line, you know, get that out of here. Like, it's like they shouldn't mesh together, in my opinion. You shouldn't pretend to be country if you're not. You know, you're sitting in your $1 million house and you're saying about how you're driving your your old Ford Ranger down the dirt road. Like, I don't really want to hear it. if we're talking metal on the road, Wage War, pretty good band. August Burns Red, Polaris. A lot of it changes week to week. This band. I'm listening to this band for a week. Now it's back to this band. Now I'm listening to John Mayer. Now I'm listening to Run of Jewels. You know what I mean? It flips. It's whatever I'm feeling. I like a lot of music.
So let's take a moment and talk about the album that you sent me.
Okay.
Eviction, correct?
Yes.
When you said you were like, here, I'll send you the Dropbox to the album. I usually get EPs, and I clicked on it. And I was like, wow, it's an LP.
Yep. Yes, it is.
tell us a little bit. I mean, you're sitting in a recording studio, so I'm sure you have some studio stories, and maybe work your way towards the song and tell us a little bit about the song we're going to listen to tonight.
Okay. So the album's called Eviction. It was released on June 20th of 2019. We recorded, wrote it, mixed, mastered, all the fun stuff. We did that all ourselves in my basement in our little studio session here. Insult to Injury was the first song we dropped from the album. We dropped that with a music video in October of 2018. And then the next single we dropped from the album was Hay in the Needle Stack, which is what you guys will be, you know, about to hear. It's a concept album. So it tells a story from start to finish, and to sum it up, it's pretty much, pointing out the flaws in humanity over time and the results of those flaws, where we are now, where we're going to be if we continue to end up, you know, following through with these things. So it's almost a warning type of, I don't know.
How about we play the song Hay in the Needle Stack? And we're going to play some Seethe with it as well. That song is called Circles. And we will be right back with Brett from Ultraviolent.
Yeah.
Okay, you just heard Seed Song Circles, and right before that, you heard Needle. I almost messed that up. Hay in the Needle Stack by Ultraviolent, with an N, really big N, right before that. Ultraviolent
with a really big N.
This is episode 531 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. That means that my podcast is almost as old as Brett.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's true.
I was 2004.
Wow. But yeah, so Hay in the Needle Stack. Should I say a little bit about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. Okay. So basically, the riff to that song was first written. I wrote the first riff to that song. It was after a night of band practice. Somebody made me really mad. We got into an argument at band practice about something. I don't remember what it was, but I was just so livid. Everyone left. I came in the studio myself, and I just said, I'm just going to write the meanest riff. I'm going to tune solo. I'm going to write some awesome riff. And I wrote it, and I showed it to the guys, and they all really liked it. So, you know, we kept it in our repertoire at the time. During that time, I was working at a bowling alley. And this will be relevant, just don't worry. I was working at a bowling alley, and while the leagues were going on, I'd have to sit in the back behind the pins and watch all the pins and make sure everything was good to go. You know, everything was working right. The machines were okay. And while I was back there, I was scrolling on Facebook, and I saw an article, very unfortunate, but it was saying about how there was like 3 school shootings within like the same week. And I got I got so angry, so upset, you know, I couldn't do anything about it. I was so disappointed in the world at that time. And in the matter of 15 minutes of me sitting in the back of a bowling alley, I wrote all of the lyrics to that song. And we might have changed one line since then, but man, I was angry. And basically, I mean, that's probably one of the more controversial songs on the album, because it's talking about like, you know, if all this stuff's happening, and you know, like if there's a God, and you know, why is this happening, and you know, this and that and the other thing. So that's pretty much the whole consensus of the song. The reason we got the name Hay in the Needle Stack, it's a direct SpongeBob reference, which is kind of ironic considering the seriousness of the song. But basically at the time, it was one of the more heavier songs that was in our list for the album. And it was one that really stuck out, like, okay, here's our songs, and then there's this song that's like super heavy compared to the rest. And it was the needle in the haystack, so to speak. And then I don't remember why, but we flipped it to Hay in the Needle Stack, and we were like, oh yeah, SpongeBob. Like, if anyone picks up on that, and for the irony. So, a final secret is the song length is 3:16, which is an ode to the biblical, you know, the line. So it kind of ties in with the song. It ties in, you know, everything. So there's a lot of weird stuff that people won't really notice if they don't look for it. But if you do look for it, I promise it's there.
What is something that the fans of Ultraviolent would be surprised to learn about you?
About the band?
Nope, you.
Me.
Yep.
You keep getting that face from me.
Now you're going, man, I really wish I would have listened to that video or that show earlier.
So most of like the diehard fans, or like most of our friends that have been with us from the beginning, know this. But for people that just pick up the album and don't really know who we are, I started out on drums, actually, and I've been playing drums much longer than I've been doing guitar. And I personally think I'm better at drums, even though I play guitar in the band. Same with vocals. I was never a vocalist. I never picked up a microphone until we pretty much had to, because we couldn't find a vocalist. And I said, you know what? Screw it. I guess I'll try it. So I honestly didn't even really want to be a vocalist. It just kind of happened, and now here we are. So
you know, that story kind of fits that whole looking like Dave Grohl thing, right?
Yeah, I know.
Tell me, if you don't mind, about an embarrassing moment you've had on stage.
Yeah, so there's been a few. One of them, we were playing a show. This was back in the early days, back when we played like in our hometown. We were still doing covers. We didn't know what to do with ourselves. We were playing outside of a church in like a gazebo. And we opened with a cover of Check My Brain by Alice in Chains. So after that song, about 50% of the crowd had left because, you know, this is a rock band at a church. It's not okay. So we're covering The Trooper by Iron Maiden. And we're doing our own sound. The soundboard's on the stage. It's a big soundboard. I'm in the middle of my solo. And it's a wooden gazebo. And we hear a thump. Like a big thump. And we're like, oh no. We turn around. The soundboard's on the ground. The faders are jacked up. So people out front are hearing, wee, coming from the microphones. And it was just pretty terrible. Another embarrassing moment on stage. And I hate myself for it, but we were opening up for August Burns Red at the Chameleon Club. And one of the guitars just did not work for an entire song. And we had a 20-minute slot, and it was a pay-to-play thing, and it was not cheap. And, you know, you live and you learn. But we're past it now.
You actually kind of sound a little bitter about it.
Yeah, well, we played that show the day the album dropped. And the few days before, we were just up all night, like, getting ready, doing this and that. And I pulled an all-nighter, just did not have sleep. And I was excited about this show for months. You know, they're one of my favorite metalcore bands. And we're like, I finally get to share the stage with, you know, this awesome band at the Chameleon Club in Lancaster, you know, their hometown. And backstage, before the intro started playing, I gotta admit, I just wasn't feeling it. And you know, you put your best face on when you go out there, but the guitar thing happening in the middle of the set was just kind of the icing on the cake. And it wasn't really the best night for me. So like I said, you know, it is what it is. Mistakes are gonna happen. You just gotta accept it.
Really hard hitting. Or I know what I can do. Have you seen the movie Almost Famous? Oh. Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of a what it's about without spoiling it. And then I'm gonna give you a homework assignment and tell you have to find it and watch it.
Yeah, see, whenever people say stuff like that, you know, I'm not a huge TV or movie person. I'm always just like, this is what I do with my time, you know. So,
well, Almost Famous is about a kid who is trying to become a writer for Rolling Stone, and they give him a freelance job where he's supposed to follow a band around and write about the band. And what it really turns into was he was babysitting the band.
Oh, goodness.
And he had to come up with this, had to write an article and had a deadline. And he kept trying to get him to extend it because he wasn't getting anything done. And it's about the groupies that followed them. It's actually a good movie. But my question is, if you were that kid, what band would you want to be writing about for your first article? I love the faces.
I mean, I still can't. I still can't say Metallica, right? Or are we off the charts there? I mean,
if you're going to say Metallica, you have to give me two.
Okay.
Brandon Babcock says, Brett, the fans are dying to know how many hard-boiled eggs can you fit in your mouth at the same time.
Yeah, so Brandon's our drummer. yeah. I mean, he has seen how many jumbo marshmallows can fit in my mouth at one time. He has seen that. So I'd say maybe two or three less than that. if you really want your answer there, Brandon. So if I could write, oh man, I'm trying to think of like a crazy band that has done like crazy stuff, like Motley Crue type of stuff, you know, like maybe a band like that.
I tell you what, that the Dirt, I think that actually disappointed me. I was like, there's no way they weren't more depraved than that. Right. That movie showed.
Right. Or even like Ozzy used to be, you know, pretty wild from what I have heard. Something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't partake, but I definitely take notes on it. So.
All right. So this question doesn't count, but it's one of the more important ones. Where can the listeners get a copy of Eviction, and where can they find you online?
All right. So if you would like a CD copy, you can go to ultraviolent.bigcartel.com. That's our merch site. We have some shirts. We got some, CDs, of course. We've got some posters, stickers. I'm not sure if we have any booty shorts left. We might. So that's for the merch. If you want to listen to us, we're on pretty much anywhere you can listen to music. Just search up Ultraviolent. Don't forget the N. Put Eviction in there, and you're good to go. Because usually you might get Lana Del Rey's album, you know, Ultraviolence. So it's Ultraviolent. Be sure. It's got the big explosion on the front of it. You can't miss it. Yeah, anywhere except for Twitter. We're terrible at Twitter, so we just said no. We're not doing Twitter. If you see a UV account on Twitter, it's not us. So yeah, pretty much anywhere: Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, all that fun stuff. Spotify, YouTube, blah blah blah. You know the drill.
Hey, we're gonna go out with the bang, and I'm gonna ask you the question that I just popped up on the screen from Alana. And when you're done answering, I'm gonna thank you, and we're gonna be out of here.
All right.
Her question is, what's your take on Mac Sabbath?
Crazy. Brilliant, because they're bigger than we are. I know they've played with Galactic Empire before, the Star Wars cover band, which is pretty close to home for me. I know some of the guys in that band. Chris Kelly actually does some of the music for my other project, The Art of Deception. Like he'll mix and master and give some input on that fun stuff. So shout out to Galactic and Chris Kelly and all those guys. Mac Sabbath, yeah, like I said, you know, brilliant idea, but it's not for me.
I think she had inside information before she asked that. All right, so Brett, I do want to thank you for coming on episode 531.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And for those of you that are listening for the first time, I do this every Friday. I release a show for this. And like normal, I
build a scene.
Did not do my homework, and I do not have my website pulled up. So if you give me just a moment for it to load, I'll tell you who's going to be on next. Soon as it finishes loading.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be slow tonight.
Well, why wouldn't it be?
I know that next week is Modern Fossils. I know that for sure.
There's some kind of mojo about, I don't know if it's me or if it's the band, but every time we're on a podcast or an interview, there's always something that happens where the guy hosting it says, that's never happened before. Like, like the camera is shut off.
Well, let me tell you, this happens a lot. So yeah, it's not this one.
Yeah. So something happened. That's just my luck. It is what it is, you know. You're doing amazing at this. So
Thank you.
So, yeah, of course. And I mean, the consistency, doing it for as long as you've been doing it, that's great. So I really respect that.
I'm giving up on telling you who's playing next, other than next week is Modern Fossils. And the reason I know that one for sure is because I recorded it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So make sure you check us out. You go to buildtheseam.com. We actually have two podcasts there. This one and another one called Three Questions and a Song, which is literally I ask the band three questions and play one of their songs. Multi-genre. You might hear some pop country on there.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
You might not. trying to play everything that I can within reason. So if you're out there and you're like, hey, this Pennsylvania rock show thing was pretty cool, but I don't play rock, that's why we have three questions in a song. And maybe you're not from Pennsylvania. Put you on that one.
Nice.
Anyway, Brett and I are going to go and probably chat for a couple more minutes. Those of you that are on Facebook, I'd like to thank you for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you, Facebook fans.
Those of you listening to the show on one of the streaming stations or through our website, buildtheseam.com. Again, make sure you come back next week and see what Modern Fossils have to say. We will see you later.
See you around.
The devil coming, the devil coming. This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.